Turning points in history. That's the topic of this month's lesson.
Turning points in history.
What was the turning point in the history of Deep English?
The turning point in the history of Deep English. That's a good question, Dan.
I think it's when I took you aside and I said, you need to quit all this ballet, all this tap dancing, and become an English teacher. Change the world.
I think that was it. That would have been
and
the
you
turning
haven't,
point.
You haven't tapped dance since.
That's right. I've given it up completely.
Ballet too.
Yep.
And some people said you had a...
I still have my ballet shoes though. Right. They're hiding in a little box.
A lot of people don't know that. Yep. We'll break that out for a lesson one day. Turning points in history. Yeah, we started off this story with Hitler.
Yeah, Adolf Hitler. One of the most infamous of all war criminals.
Right, the most notorious.
Notorious, that's right.
Hitler. You know, I read about, Hitler didn't have any children, of course, but he had nephews.
Yeah.
And I read that they have decided to never procreate, to never have children.
That's interesting. I wonder if that's true.
If it came out of my mouth, there's a good 50-50 chance.
50-50 chance.
That it's true.
Okay. Fair enough. Well, you know, they do say, believe half of what you read and none of what you hear. So I'm not going to believe it
for me.
So
let's try to keep it a little simpler. Just believe everything I say. Okay. No, but apparently they felt that it was irresponsible, that maybe there was something locked in their DNA that could create another monster that could, you know, destroy the world or set off another war or do something horrible.
Wow.
Which is interesting because obviously they had morals
in that
they were worried about it.
Sure. Yeah, I wonder, but I can't help but wonder if, you know, the phenomenon of Adolf Hitler was a combination of many different things. It wasn't just his genetic makeup, but it could have been his life circumstances, situation.
It was 100% the art school.
It was the art school. That's what did it, huh? He just got rejected.
Well,
and that was it.
That's what our storyline is. And of course it wasn't, it couldn't have just been art school. I mean,
right.
He probably would have been a different kind of tyrant. Maybe he would have been a tyrant.
An art tyrant of some sort.
Yeah. At like some kind of museum curator.
Right.
Maybe he would have been a tyrant in the art world.
Or, What I find kind of fascinating about this month's theme is the fact that one small little thing can have such a huge consequence.
Right.
But if we reverse it and say that, okay, let's say that Adolf Hitler did actually get accepted to art school. Okay, he never would have become this, you know, this notorious war criminal that he became. But that may have opened the door for some other person to come in who could have been worse.
That's true.
I mean, so, you know, what do they say? Hindsight is 20/20?
Right,
that? Yeah.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, it could be that one of the people that was under him would have risen to power in his place.
Yeah. But, interesting how a little rejection could have set off the events that later... affected so many millions of people's lives.
The topic we bring up in the story is the hypothetical time machine question.
Right.
And what would you do?
Ah, yeah, I thought about that.
Would you go back and kill Hitler?
If it meant saving the lives of like millions and millions of people? Is that how you present the
whole time machine quandary, we don't know what will happen.
It's a hard question to answer. I mean, the short answer is, of course I would. Of course. I mean, would that be the effect? Would really those people be saved?
Right.
And or would it cause some other kind of disastrous series of events in the future? We just don't know. Like this comes back to that whole butterfly effect.
Right.
Where the flapping of the butterfly's wings sets off a series of events in a very complicated world where months later or years later it causes a giant hurricane that, you know, destroys some country or a series of cities or whatever. But yeah, I mean, the short answer is sure, of course I would do that to save millions of people, but really
you won't even kill a mosquito. Isn't that true? Didn't you once tell me that you got a thing about killing bugs?
I mean, I try not to kill for matters of convenience.
A little Gandhi in you.
Yeah, I try not to.
So you won't kill a mosquito?
It's not that I won't. I don't.
And you want to take out Hitler?
I don't. I didn't say I wanted to.
That ain't going to happen. You don't get the keys to the time machine.
Okay, I fair enough. No. What about you? What would you?
Oh, yeah, I'd take him out.
You'd take him out.
Wait till... I'd get him early while he was little. He was already little, but, you know, he might have been a strong little guy.
Oh, gosh. Oh, man.
Yeah, Hitler. Hitler, that was one turning point, the art school rejection letter.
Right.
Could that have changed things?
Yeah.
Or maybe he just would have gotten frustrated even if he had gotten into art university.
Right.
And because apparently he was not that good.
Yeah,
I mean, I see his paintings. They look okay.
Oh, you've seen his paintings.
Yeah, you can see them on Wikipedia. You can see them online. They look okay. They're nothing amazing, but the university that he applied to thought it was pretty average.
Yeah,
and not
they're
good
looking
enough
for exceptional students.
And apparently, they've shown it to art university, like contemporary modern art university entrance exams, and not said this is Hitler's paintings just to get a reaction. And they've gotten similar responses. That, yeah, it's okay.
But well, it's
not,
not saying a whole lot, though, because apparently
you're saying
there
it
was
is
like,
up to snuff.
Well, there was like a chimpanzee or a gorilla that did some paintings, and they did a similar thing where they showed it to art critics, and they didn't say it was from an ape.
Right.
And in fact, some of them said that it was like high quality painting. Right. So I don't buy all that.
It could have been a talented ape. Don't.
Well, that's true.
That's speciesism.
Yeah.
Speciesism.
Yeah.
Racism. Speciesism. Yeah. So I think the other story we covered was Watergate.
Oh right.
And speaking of infamy, or notorious leaders, President Nixon is probably on the list of the most untrustworthy. Crookeded.
Tricky Dick.
Right.
Tricky Dick.
I am not a crook.
That's right.
Nixon.
Yeah.
That's what he said right before he left the White House.
Right. Yeah, a piece of tape. That was all it took.
Yeah, one little piece of tape.
One little piece of tape. Yeah. But I kind of feel like he had it coming anyway. I mean, maybe if that tape hadn't played the role that it had, that something else would have brought him down.
Yeah, he was really ripe to be taken down.
He was a house of cards. He really was.
He recorded every conversation. For somebody who's doing illegal stuff, you shouldn't be recording. It's not a good idea.
No. I wonder why he did that.
I think it was just hubris. He just thought he was so powerful that nobody could, you know, ever get access to his secret tape recordings.
Yeah, but why would he tape record?
Maybe he wanted to use it later on to write his book, and he wanted to be able to go back, and he thought there was no risk of anybody ever accessing.
I see. I wonder if he had grown up in this day and age with Twitter and Facebook and, you know, YouTube, would he have done things differently?
Well, he probably never would have made it to president.
No.
Those kind of decisions.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think that a lot of people's mistrust of the government, or not just from Nixon, but I mean, that's a prime example.
Sure.
How you can't trust the man.
Right. Yeah. Stick it to the man.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that time in U.S. history, you know, especially, was a lot of mistrust of the government.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody really believed in what will not, I can't say everybody, but I would say the most young people didn't believe in the war in Vietnam.
Right.
And didn't believe in the reasons, the reasoning behind the war.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And then in after Reagan came through, and then Bill Clinton, Bush, and then Clinton got into power, you know, the U.S. experienced a pretty thriving economy. And it wasn't until George Bush and the Iraq War that people started to distrust George W. Bush, distrust government again. Now it's like at an all-time high.
Well, a lot of people distrusted Bill Clinton, called him Slick Willie.
That's true.
And I think a lot of that has rubbed off on Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't trust her. And some of it is from decisions that she's made as a politician, but I think some is a little bit of a crossover or from her husband.
Yeah. I think just the opinion, not just the presidency, but of politicians in Congress and in the House of Representatives, is at an all-time low, like their approval rating.
Yeah.
And a lot of people want to see drastic change,
yeah,
which
yeah,
is why guys like Trump are rising to
yes,
power.
Yes, yeah. Lunatics like yeah. Donald Trump makes me ashamed to be an American.
Yeah, I don't know what this world is coming to, Dan.
Yeah. So Frank Willis, he was the security guard. $2.50 raise.
Frank Willis, huh?
Yes.
$2.50 raise.
He's only making $80 a week.
Well, that's, I mean, he got two, the raise was $2.50 or it was $2.50 above what
above.
He was.
Okay, so you figure
that was
you,
pretty significant then.
No, that was like nothing.
You no, I mean, if you're only making $80 a week, if you're getting an extra $2.50 an hour, that's...
No. A week,
maybe
an extra $2.50 a week, which is...
Oh, $250
you know, like six
a week.
Or 7 cents an
oh,
hour
okay.
extra.
Okay, that's nothing then.
Yeah.
Okay. I misunderstood you.
He died in poverty.
Yeah.
I guess he was just doing his job, but he did it. He did something pretty important.
He did something pretty important. And then we have the interesting and unlikely case of a speech saving the life of the man who wrote it.
Teddy Roosevelt.
That's right. And usually we think of a speech saving someone's life as the meaning of the speech
right.
saving your life. But in this case, it was the actual physical...
Right.
You know, documents themselves that
right.
that saved his life or played a role in saving his life.
Bull Moose. That's what they called him, a bull. Maybe he just called himself that.
I wonder.
It's kind of an odd thing to get macho about,
a bull moose. It seems kind of...
A lion, I could see, an elephant.
Yeah, like I picture a moose as a very large creature that sort of blunders forward and charges and
yeah.
kind of knocks everything out of the way in yeah. a way that a bull might.
Yeah.
But yeah, that would I wouldn't want that nickname.
Yeah.
yeah.
So at first I thought that you know, they must have had some really wimpy guns back then.
Uh-huh.
That a 50-page speech.
Well, yeah.
But apparently there was an eyeglass case in there, too.
Well, I'm sure that helped. But, yeah, I'm sure that the guns back then had nothing like the power of guns these days.
Right.
Yeah, the penetration power and that kind of thing.
Apparently when he you know, he refused to go to the hospital. Uh-huh. His staff's telling him, like, you got to go to the hospital.
Well, he kept giving his speech,
chest.
Right? Yeah.
Well, he wasn't giving the speech. He was on his way to another speech. And in his his staff were like, we got to get you to a hospital. And he checked and he said, no, I'm good.
Oh.
I'm good. There's no. He was a. You know. He was a soldier before.
And
so
it
he
did
had an
penetrate
experience.
his chest.
Yeah, it
right?
was yeah. lodged in his chest. Yeah. He felt blood on his chest, but he said, "Let me just check my mouth. If there's no blood coming out of my mouth, then I know it's not in my lungs. I'm good for the next speech." And when he got to his next spot, his next stop, and started making his speech, one of the points we didn't include in the story mm-hmm. was somebody in the crowd. Immediately, you know, he started off the speech with, I've just been shot.
Yeah.
And somebody in the crowd immediately shouts out, fake!
Really?
Which reminded me of, like, the modern YouTube era. You see anything amazing on YouTube, and you go into the comics, like, in the first 10 comments, somebody's going to be like, fake!
Yeah. This is staged. It's not real.
So yeah. apparently he whipped out the stage, the speech papers that had a hole through it, and he was like, here's the proof.
Wow. Well, there's for writing long-winded speeches.
Right.
Yeah, you never know.
50 pages and an eyeglass case saved his life.
Yeah, maybe we should carry those around with us, Dan.
Yeah, really. We should carry some of these. I don't know. Maybe we're going to have to write these a little longer.
Yeah, I know. What about you? Have there been any little turning points at crossroads in your life that came down to some very small thing that made a difference?
Crossroads
that you can think of, like, I mean, all of us have had crossroads in our lives,
right?
And I just wonder, you know, I just I don't know. I mean, I think we can all point to little things that made a
right.
difference, but you know, we're in our story, we're talking about profound effects on
right.
humanity and a whole society,
right?
But I'm sure we all relate with this because right. we've had instances in our lives where little things
right.
have made a difference,
right? Yeah. You know, I'm sure if you could pinpoint, if you had a photographic memory, you could pinpoint all kinds of things. Like, I remember I got into a very bad motorcycle accident. And I got slammed into by a car, thrown off my motorcycle onto the windshield. I was pretty messed up for a while. And, you know, I'm sure that if I had forgotten to brush my teeth and been out the door like a minute earlier, or if I had, you know, eaten a bigger breakfast and been out the door a minute later, I wouldn't have been hit. So I'm sure there's all kinds of little things that you can point to. But I can't think of anything off the top of my head.
Yeah, me neither. Like, I can't think of anything profound. But I can definitely go back and look at crossroads in my life, such as meeting my wife or getting into college or deciding, you know, whether or not I was going to get married or go travel or, you know, things that, that had a significant impact in terms of the trajectory of my future. Yeah, I can point to little things that, that made a difference. But nothing profound.
Maybe this is the moment right
this
here.
This could be it.
This could be a crossroads.
This could be a major crossroads. Talking about crossroads. This could be the beginning
of
something.
Delving into the history of Hitler.
Could be something incredible.
Could be the stepping stone to your life in politics. When you realize that the smallest thing, and this is your thing, President Campbell.
This is the crossroads.
Well, with that, you got my vote, my friend.
Well, thank you, Dan, and I'm glad I have your support.
Okay. Don't forget me when you're in the White House.
All right. Fair enough.